chat. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you're feeling in flare. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Make sure you guys check out our website, theantimedia.org, where we're going to be. Where we get a lot of this stuff that we're talking about on our show from. So make sure you check that out. We're relaunching again. Should be at the beginning of the week with a new responsive site. So it's going to be a lot more mobile friendly and all that good thing. It's going to be the same basic layout. We're adding a few new journalists as well, which is pretty exciting. We may have someone coming over from benswan.com and work with us as well. And some other good things going on, and just keep an eye out on that, because it looks like things are taking off, and this movement is growing, the media movement is growing, and fortunately the mainstream media is getting worse and worse as they become more irrelevant and more irrelevant. We talked about it on Monday about the median age of Bill O'Reilly's show being at 72 years old now. So the average person listening to the O'Reilly Factor, watching the O'Reilly Factor, is a 72-year-old senior citizen. And fortunately for us, these aren't the people that are out creating the news and talking about the news. I mean, these are the people that kind of stick to their own. They vote. Yeah, they vote. They vote Republican and Democrat, but as time goes on, I believe that, you know, it's going to be as their numbers dwindle, our numbers swell, and we're going to have a whole new effect on things as the more conscious generation, the people that understand what's kind of going on and what's happening, you know, come around and start becoming the people that are kind of in control of what's going on in the world, because right now it's not really in our control. Our own lives are in our control for the most part, unless we do something that goes against what the state says we're allowed to do. But other than that, a lot of this stuff going on in the world, all these wars, this foreign policy, people getting killed and murdered by the cops, a lot of that stuff is out of our hands right now because our hands are tied by these idiots, unfortunately to say, that are voting in these politicians. And here in California, we had some horrible elections yesterday and horrible ballots. Looks like we're going to keep our governor, Jerry Brown, which is a total idiot, even from the progressives. The progressives don't even like him. Somehow the guy still won. You got this guy, let's see, what's his name? Leland Yee, I believe his name is. Let's see. Leland Yee, a Democratic California State Senator for District 8, which represents a large portion of East Central California. This is the guy that just got caught a couple months ago by the FBI accepting bribes and funneling weapons. And we're not just talking about guns and pistols. We're talking about RPGs to the Chinese mob in California. And this guy got caught by the FBI, and he's arrested. He's either in jail right now or he's out on bail. And guess what? He still got more votes than the guy that was running against him in the election, which just goes to kind of show how uninformed people are that are actually voting. Now, if you ask me, I don't know. Like, I think a lot of the people that are like the most aware of what's going on are the most disillusioned at the same time. So these people aren't really voting. I know I didn't vote, and a lot of my friends didn't vote, and a lot of my friends and me kind of know what things are going on. And I think it gets to a point where it just gets so redundant and so many times. How many times do we have to vote? How many times do we have to go through this process over and over again only to see it change between Republican and Democrat? In the end, nothing ever changes. Bush was horrible. And everyone's like, well, screw Bush and all the Republicans. Let's elect a Democrat and let's elect this guy, Obama. Well, guess what? Nothing really changed. I mean, he carried on pretty much the same exact policies, the Patriot Act, the NSA, the foreign policy, the wars. He knocked over Libya's government, tried to knock over Syria's government. They're all over Africa now. So basically everything got carried on. And I think the people that are, you know, the most... You know, the people that really understand what's happening have kind of just got so tired of this process, so tired of this voting, and so tired of this over and over same process and the same exact people getting elected and reelected, and then you got Clinton, and then you got Bush, and then you got Clinton, and then you got Obama, and then you got Bush. I mean, it's almost like a monarchy. And in fact, I mean, the country is known to be an oligarchy according to a study released by Stanford. So, I mean, it just goes to confirm what we kind of already know, that no matter what we do, no matter how much voting we do, it doesn't really change that much. And if voting, it's like that old saying, if voting changed anything, it would be illegal. That's like what they say. So I guess it's kind of one of these things where we got to figure out some alternatives. What can we do besides just voting and besides just pinning our hopes on these politicians? And even if our politicians that we wanted to win, and I didn't really pick any favorites in this election because I didn't really know any of them or anything like that. But even if the politicians that you like win. Just like a lot of people liked Obama when he won, that doesn't mean that they're going to actually do what they say or do as they promise or do anything that you actually want them to do. You know, they may just go get in there and just do whatever their advisors tell them what to do, or whatever the money tells them what to do, or whatever the influencers want to tell them what to do. Now we know that Obama had a file on him. From the NSA. The NSA was tracking Obama as he went into the Senate. And so we know that they definitely have dirt on the guy. So if you want someone to do something for you, well, in the government, what you do is you get dirt on people, because you're not allowed to use money to influence people in government, because that would be considered corruption, especially if you got caught. But you use this leverage that you get on them. You use this dirt and use coercion like that. And so whether Obama was elected with good intentions or not doesn't really matter, because the fact is he's doing what he's doing, and a lot of it is pretty bad stuff. Now, the NSA, these dragnets, FBI, all this huge bureaucratic dragnets that we have spying on every single person that's living on basically on the earth, they're used and they're saved, and all these bits of data can be used against you one day. If ever there's a time when you become, if you invent a product or something, and it becomes a huge threat to a certain industry, and this industry is heavily embedded in the government, they could easily just dredge up this data, if they wanted to, and throw it out and use it against you. And I believe that's what they do to most of these politicians. I believe Hoover was the guy that really got the ball rolling. And I doubt that it stopped. It's probably gotten a lot worse. And now, especially where they have this huge, huge setup where they were able to troll everybody's stuff. that, I mean, it's just one of these things that you can't really avoid. If you get into office, you become powerful and influential, guess what? They're gonna dig up all your dirt, and then they're gonna turn you into a puppet. I mean, that's basically how the system works. And that's how they've been perpetuating this nonsense for so long. Now, we're not going to be joined by DB tonight, our normal co-host here on the Anti-Media Radio. Unfortunately, fortunately for him, he's on a road trip with his lady friend. And we're going to bring the show to you here tonight solo, but we do have open lines. If anybody wants to call in, we're getting ready to jump into this Bo Bergdahl story and break this thing down, because I think that it's total hypocrisy, and to say the least, I guess. If anybody wants to call in and chime in on this thing, any of the news that's been going on this past week, you want to talk about Ukraine, Syria, anything like that, feel free to call us, 1-718-717-8296. Once again, 718-717-8296. Call us up and let's talk about some... anything you guys want to talk about, as long as it's relevant news. I don't want to censor anybody, but let's try to keep it relevant and talk about, you know, something that's going on right now. So this whole Bo Bergdahl thing. Now, I can kind of identify with the guy, having a brother that's been to Afghanistan and spoken of the, you know, horrific situation. And yes, these kids, these soldiers, these young guys were sold this dream. They were, hey guys, you're going to go save the Afghani people. You want to sign up for this? And of course, kids are going to be like, yeah, I want to save people. I want to help people, because humans are naturally, you know, pretty good. And he gets to Afghanistan. And within a couple months, he realized, damn, we're not helping anybody over here. In fact, we're hurting these people, and we're hurting children, and we're destroying the economy. We're causing these warlords to gain more influence and these terrorists to become more entrenched. And he decided that it wasn't for him. Now, unfortunately, if you're in the U.S. military and you're over there in these war zones, you can't just up and go to your commander and say, hey, man, you know, it turns out this war isn't for me, and I don't think, you know, I don't really want to be here anymore. I don't like what's going on. You can't really do that. You can't just do that when you're in the military. You sign a contract. You basically sign your life away. And that's basically it. You do what you're told, or you get thrown in their whatever kind of jail that they have for the military over there until you decide that you want to act right. Or, you know, do as you're told, follow orders. Now, in my opinion, now, of course, this whole story, it's going to be really hard to get to the bottom of, because the media has turned it into this huge spectacle. And now it's really hard to try to uncover the facts here. But I go through and I look for the quotes from the guy, Bo Bergdahl. And what he's saying is basically that he's got a heavy conscience. He doesn't like what he's doing. He thinks he's hurting people, and he doesn't want to do it anymore. And so he walked off, and that's what he did. Now the news is trying to hang this guy. They're bringing, especially on Fox. I mean, oh man, Hannity was just basically calling the guy a complete traitor and calling into question whether or not we should sentence the guy to death. I mean, that's how far it's come. But just a few months ago, the GOP, the Republicans, were saying that we should do whatever it takes to get this kid back, even if it took doing prisoner swaps. And now they're coming out swinging, saying that, you know, maybe we should just impeach Obama over this stuff. Well, you know, judging by these elections in California, I mean, what good would impeaching Obama really do? What happened? Then what? Then we have Joe Biden, an even more bumbling idiot? Or then we call an election and then elect a Republican? I mean, how is that going to fix anything at all besides just make things worse? And yeah, like I said earlier, Obama is doing a terrible job and he's done a lot of terrible things. But it's not just that guy that is the problem. That's just where so many people go wrong, especially Republicans, people on the right. They act like Obama is the Antichrist or something when he's just another guy. He's just a dude. And it showed in those pictures that the guy took of him working out today. He's just a regular guy. and he's a product of this system. So no matter who we end up putting in that position, whether it's a Republican, a Democrat, whether it's Ted Cruz or Jeb Bush or Rand Paul for that matter, doesn't really matter, because what's going to happen is the same exact thing. You get coercion, you get all these advisors, all this money, and as soon as you go against anything that someone wants you to do, you get hung in the media. And now just imagine a Rand Paul being elected and then actually trying to follow through on things that he said. The guy would be completely hung up in the media. He would be done immediately, even quicker than Obama, quicker than Bush, worse than Bush, because it would actually be a real threat. So, which means that he simply wouldn't be able to do it. Or if he tried, he would end up like JFK. And that's just speculation, because who knows, the guy's probably a damn insider acting like he's a good guy. You know, but all of that doesn't even really matter, because the fact is the structure is bad. The whole institution is wrong, and it's messed up because they feel that people can rule over other people's lives. And the founding fathers, obviously, despite everyone's, you know, gawking at them about their respect for liberty, and, you know, all these libertarian guys love to say, quoting the founding fathers and stuff. Well, no, the founding fathers didn't really know the first thing about liberty, because they signed us all up for this social contract that anyone born in this country got tied into. No, that wasn't liberty. That was force. That was coercion. So, no, the country wasn't founded. The country wasn't even founded in freedom. And think about it. They had a bunch of people enslaved. They had the Native Americans being slaughtered and treated like cattle. So even at the very beginning of this country, there was never really a time of real freedom or liberty. There were just versions of it for some people, and some people were able to benefit from certain versions of this freedom. And so it's time that I think we need to rethink the whole institution, the whole structure, because it really isn't working for the majority of us. Now, this whole Bo Bergdahl thing. They're saying that the media obviously turned this into a spectacle. And now, I heard these conservative pundits saying, well, he violated his oath of office, or he violated his oath to his country, so that is deserving of very severe punishment, up to and including death. And they're blowing this stuff all over the radio waves and all over the airwaves. And what about all these politicians that have violated their oath? That's what I want to know. That's what I want to figure out, because this is the thing that they tend to not talk about or not mention. This guy, this whole deal with Bo Bergdahl shouldn't even be news. It should have just been a prisoner swap, end of story. In fact, Guantanamo should already be closed, and we shouldn't even be in Afghanistan to begin with. I mean, let's get a little bit deeper into this thing, and let's not focus on, well, is Bo Bergdahl a traitor or is he a hero? No, that's not even relevant. The relevant thing is, well, obviously this guy saw how shitty the war was and how unethical the war was, and it got to his conscience, so he walked out. Okay, that's one part of it. The second part is, maybe we shouldn't be over there in the first place battling basically what's turning into a genocide, because we're at war with the Taliban, which is basically a race. It's a tribe. So we're at war with the Taliban. We're at war with a tribe. We're committing genocide. Okay, so we get a little deeper that way. And now what about all these politicians that support the NSA? These people have all violated their oath. They've all violated their office. Why aren't we talking about sending these people to prison or sentencing these people to death by firing squad or whatever it is these idiots are talking about? Because these are the ones really committing the violations of our of the oath. And the politicians are the ones that don't just affect what they say, that the people looking for Bo Bergdahl got six guys killed. Okay. That's bad. That sucks. Six guys died in the war looking for this guy that maybe walked off the post. But when a politician signs off on this kind of thing, 6,000 people could die. 600,000 people could starve. I mean, and these guys, almost every person in the Congress is guilty of violating their oath because they've supported the NSA, and the NSA is an existential threat to the Fourth Amendment. So yeah, they're violating their oath. Almost all of these politicians in one point in their career have violated their oath of office. These are the ones we should be putting in prison, not these poor soldiers that lost their mind because they're over there fighting an unjust war. That's insane. We shouldn't be creating a week's worth of headlines over one poor soldier that lost his mind in Afghanistan and calling him a traitor. I mean, the guy just got released from being kidnapped for 2 years, and the mainstream media is sitting here calling the guy a traitor and a deserter and all this stuff. I mean, how sick is this country? How sick is this media to do this kind of thing and just completely ignore the absolute inequality that's going on in this country? I mean, it's just so wild. It's so crazy to watch this reality show that they call television news, that it's almost like comedy now when I see it. And luckily for us, we have this independent media and these independent radio stations and websites and even video programs that you could watch on your TV if your TV is internet enabled, or if you set up your TV to be your computer monitor. You can watch these things as if you're watching TV, but you're watching YouTube news or live stream news, internet news of some sort. Even the Young Turks, it's better than watching MSNBC. But if it weren't for that, I mean, if it weren't for us being able to talk about this stuff, I mean, everybody in the country would be in this frenzy, fighting each other, cutting each other's heads off. All the Democrats are going to be defending Bo Bergdahl because Obama's the guy that pardoned him or brokered the deal. And all the Republicans are going to say, oh, well Bo Bergdahl's he's a terrorist, he's a traitor, he's a deserter, we need to impeach Obama. I mean, this is as deep as the debate would get if it weren't for the independent media. And so, thankfully, we have that. Thankfully, we still have internet. And we've talked about it a few times in the past. We've talked about the need for the media. And believe me, the media is growing. The anti-media is growing. We're bringing on new journalists. The network is expanding. And that's a good thing, because people want to hear the real news, because they're tired of hearing this crap that they're seeing. I saw an article the other day from Gawker, of all places, where it was literally a video of people watching Game of Thrones and watching their reaction on their faces to watching Game of Thrones. I mean, that's what this whole article was about. So, of course, as the internet becomes the main way of distributing information and the television starts to become irrelevant, at least the cable television and, you know, the satellite, all that crap, we're going to see the mainstream moving into the independent media. And we talked about this a little bit on Monday with Andrew Demeter, that was on the show. And he's that kid from Teen Take. He's like 16, 17 years old. He's the one that confronted Pelosi. And we talked a little bit about this. The mainstream media is going to begin trying to buy out a lot of these internet-based news websites. Like, for instance, that I brought up earlier on Monday, BuzzFeed. I mean, I don't know who owns BuzzFeed or anything like that. I'm just speculating here. I'm not trying to say, you know, BuzzFeed's getting bought out. I'm just saying, for instance, a company like BuzzFeed can be bought out by the likes of maybe Fox News or News Corp, the people that own Fox News. And that's what we're going to see start happening as the TV stuff becomes irrelevant. So, I mean, supporting independent journalism, it's not as simple as just going on the internet and getting your news from the internet. I mean, we have to be conscious about who owns what and where the news is coming from. If it's coming from the AP, which is almost everything now on the mainstream stuff is dictated by the AP, then you have to understand that there's going to be a neoliberal slant to this stuff that's going to be pro-U.S. foreign policy. Pro-U.S. government, anti-Iranian, you know, anti-anyone that goes against U.S. policy, even though a lot of the criticisms are very valid. But that's just how it is, because the AP is basically the newswire service that Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, all these companies, they get all their press wires, all their breaking news from the Associated Press. So the Associated Press has an outsized influence over things. So anything that you see online that is coming from any of these big news conglomerates, and you see that it's coming from the AP, then you know that it's coming from this neoliberal type of viewpoint that's going to wind up not questioning our foreign policy, not questioning any of our industrial complexes that are heavily in bed with the government. And we need to support the opposite. We need to support the independent websites that aren't affiliated with the AP, that are going to question foreign policy, that are going to question the official narrative on things. Even if they question a narrative that ends up not being the truth, I mean, at least they're questioning the narrative. I mean, at least it's not just hook, line, sinker, okay, the government says this, and they just regurgitate the facts. I mean, look where it's gotten us. It's gotten us on into all these wars, and it's gotten us into this situation with Bo Bergdahl. So, I mean, in the end, the Bo Bergdahl thing, I think, honestly, it's just a huge, huge distraction. If we're going to talk about violating oath of office and abandoning the country and stuff like that, I mean, let's look at the biggest offenders of them all. I mean, why are we focusing in on these petty criminals? I mean, it's just one kid. It's one guy that deserted his post. Big deal. Why are we focusing in on the petty, quote-unquote, criminal when we got these other guys violating their oath, causing effects on millions of people and causing harm and death to people all over the world in the Middle East, Africa, and all these places, and hiking up this war in Ukraine and all this stuff? I mean, these are the people that we need to really be throwing in the prison cells and putting up on the, you know, on the chopping block or whatever it is that we're going to do to these people when they violate their oath of office. I mean, Bo Bergdahl is just small beans, shouldn't even be in the news. The World Cup going on down in Brazil coming up pretty soon here. I think it's going to be this month. We kind of see this everywhere. We saw it in Russia when Russia was building up for the Olympics. We saw it in China when China was building up for the Olympics. These countries and now in Brazil building up for the World Cup, they're going in. They're tearing down these favelas, which are basically the slums where most of the poor underclass people of Brazil live. And they're just demolishing whole neighborhoods wholesale. And, I mean, these people are, these people have nowhere to go. So they're fighting back, and the police are just retaliating with massive, massive amount of police state activity. And they're just beating these people down in the streets, killing these kids, man. I mean, they're literally killing kids just to build this World Cup stadium. And Brazil has spent $11.5 billion constructing these stadiums and stuff for this World Cup event, right? Meanwhile, 16 million people in the country live on less than $360 per year. So, we're talking about total hypocrisy here. And it's kind of what we've seen in Russia and China, of course, where these oligarchs, the ruling class, just really is completely disconnected from from the people at large. And what you have going on now is just this crony capitalistic type of situation where these construction, there's probably one or two big construction companies that are getting the majority of this $11.5 billion in funding for these construction stadiums. And the oligarchs that are down there that are looking at the economic advantage. Now everyone's like, oh, well, it's going to create jobs and it's going to do all this and all that. But no, at the same time, not really. It's going to create temporary jobs. A bunch of guys are going to get part-time work or short-term work, seasonal work. Once the stuff's built, then what? It's going to fall into ruin, and then all the poor people that survive this crackdown are going to have to rebuild their favelas because they just don't have the money, because their economic system, just like ours, is highly, highly regressive, and the wealth gap is just enormous down there in Brazil. It's even worse in here, which is hard to believe. You got massive protests going on now, and the worldwide community is really standing up on this one. You got all these anarchists down there in Brazil, all these protesters and stuff. they're making a stand. And there was even Native American guys down there shooting these cops with arrows. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw this. I didn't end up getting it on the anti-media, but a couple of our friendly partner sites covered the story. And yeah, these guys were literally down there, Native American guys down in Brazil, taking these cops on with bow and arrow. It was covered by revolutionnews.com. You guys can check it out there. I believe they covered that. But the people are just completely, completely tired of the oligarchy. And I mean, the World Cup is just kind of like this straw that's getting ready to break the camel's back. We'll see how it goes as the month goes on. The World Cup is set to begin. As people start rolling into the city, we're going to see what really happens. Are these protesters going to be able to cause some real disruption? And then, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, it's hard to say. But we're going to try to cover it with some live streaming video from the area and get some people on it. I know there's going to be a few live streams down there. And yeah, we're going to cover this news in Brazil as it unfolds. And I mean, it's just another one of these. We posted the link earlier today about the story, and the guy, someone commented, yeah, it's going to create jobs. Well, no, they're killing people, man. That does not – you can't make jobs and rationalize killing people just to make jobs. I mean, that's just completely, completely insane. And they're throwing people off of the places where they live. I mean, that's just a blatant violation. You can't do that kind of thing. And the people are just tired of it. Now, Monday I mentioned this, but we didn't get to jump too far into it. But they got these vape pens, these e-cigarettes, all this stuff that everyone's smoking on nowadays. And you could smoke them inside in a... You know, you could smoke them inside and all that stuff, and it's supposed to be a lot healthier than smoking cigarettes. We all know cigarettes are bad for you and all that good stuff. But now the governments around the world are trying to crack down on these things because it's become a big marketplace. It's probably worth over $1 billion now, and so now the government's like, well, we want a cut. The government wants a cut of it. They want to regulate, tax it, and all that good stuff. And then you got these scientists that came out and they're like, hey, you guys need to not mess with this stuff because it's helping a lot of people quit cigarettes. And I've met a few of my friends that have quit cigarettes using these vape pens and stuff. So yeah, I mean, I've seen it work firsthand. And these scientists are saying the same thing. Hey, you know, this stuff's working. Let's let it just, you know, let it run its course without letting the government get involved, because right now it's doing great. The market is booming. A bunch of people are quitting cigarettes. A bunch of people are starting to smoke these other things. People are able to smoke cannabis products in with these vape pens, which I think is pretty awesome, and get away with it in more public places and things like that. And of course, the government wants in on it. And now the other factor that we have to always think about here with the government and the whole corporation, industrial complex and all that crap, is the big tobacco lobby, the big tobacco industry. We can't discount them, because there's a good chance that they're the ones in the background saying, yeah, we want this regulation. Let's regulate these vape pens. Let's regulate the e-cigarettes. They're dangerous. Because that's what these giant mega corporations do. They don't compete. They don't try to come out with a better vape pen or come out with a cigarette that's less harmful. They try to use the government to go in and destroy the competition. And that's the very basis of what American capitalism has become over the past 100 years or so, since the Fed has been created and since all this monopolistic ideology has come into play, where it's not so much about competing, it's about stifling. And I think Rockefeller is a perfect example. Rockefeller wasn't a marketeer. He was a monopolist, and he was trying to shut everyone out of business and control the flow of economics. Instead of improving the flow of economics, he wanted to control it. And he even, the guy even shut down certain power plants just so that he wouldn't have to haul the product on trains that were owned by his competitors. I mean, that's how insanely just confused these guys were about economics. They didn't get it. They thought that, you know, squeezing resources and monopolizing resources was the way to grow economies. Well, no, it's a way to stack a lot of resources and centralize them. But it's not a good way to ensure the economic prosperity of the species as a whole. And I think that's where the, you know, more and more the economic thought, open source, you know, creative commons and things like that is going. Is people are starting to realize, look, like, it's not about monopolizing the info. It's about continuously improving on it and making it better and better and better. And if as long as we can keep making better ideas and better products, then people will keep buying them. But unfortunately, as the American experiment has come to mature, and I think that's where we're at now. We're at a place now where we're over our peak. Obviously, we're over our peak, but we've matured, and what it has turned into is no longer this marketplace type of situation. It's kind of this centralized capitalist American capitalist situation, where it's more about monopoly and control than it is about economics and theories and ideas. So, I mean, we see it in all the marketplaces that are becoming new. The internet, the government's all over the internet. The government basically controls the internet. We see it in the marijuana trade, the hemp trade. You know, even the controlled opposition, which in my opinion are these activists that advocate tax and regulate marijuana and tax and regulate cannabis. I think, in my opinion, I mean, that's more like controlled opposition, because the goal shouldn't be to tax and regulate it. The goal should be to make the government not throw you in a jail cell for dealing in it, and let the damn economy run its course, and let these people innovate on their own without the government getting involved. Because as soon as the government gets involved, then the guy with the most money is able to come in and more or less try to shut down everybody else. And that's what we're seeing with these vape pens. And vape pens are just so mundane. It's just a small thing, but it's an overall symptom of our total economy. And it just goes to show how messed up things have become. I mean, America is no longer, by a long shot, the easiest place to start up a business. In fact, there's more businesses, I believe, there's more businesses per capita started up in Mexico now than there are in the U.S. Because we've created just this bad, this just bad kind of twisted capitalist society that has just completely lost touch with what it's all about. Now, of course, like everything else, fortunately, there is a counterbalance. And that's the new economy. That's the Bitcoin economy. That's the economy that gets away from the central banks. That's the economy that relies on open source. The economy that relies on Creative Commons. Hey, here's my blueprint. You could recreate it, improve on it. Open source, anyone could use it, improve on it. I mean, that's the way that we advance these ideas. Instead of locking them down, patenting them, and making everybody sign non-disclosure agreements and vow of secrecy and all this crap. Dude, if you create a good idea, don't you want the world to know about it? Don't you want the world to use it? It's not about monopolizing it and just extracting as much resources as you can from it. That's the old way of thinking. That's the greedy way of thinking. It's all about now making good ideas that are going to improve humanity and then getting them out there, making them go viral. You don't got to own every little single part of it. You just got to know that you're helping the world get better. That's it. I mean, what else more? What more could you want? And, you know, that, I think, is where the new economy is going. Most of these young tech startups, they're all open source. All the Bitcoin stuff is open source. And I think this is the way that's going to resurrect freedom and liberty for the world, I think. And as we do it, other places are going to do it. Everyone's so interconnected nowadays. If we can do away with bureaucracy and government, I mean, we're looking at a real utopic kind of situation, and it's not that far-fetched. but it will take a lot of work and a lot of time. I don't think it's possible in the next 10 years, but I think it's possible in the next 50. But we'll have to see where it goes. We'll have to see where it goes. The society is evolving at a very fast pace. Look at the marijuana stance. Look at the polling. The polling on medical marijuana just, what, 5-10 years ago was like the majority of people, 60-70% of people didn't want marijuana legalized. Now a majority of people in the country do want marijuana legalized. It's only been 10 years since the whole thing started. 15 years max. So it can happen pretty quickly. But it has to be ideas and not force. If you're using force, like these, a lot of these guys are advocating that I see online, then you're starting out on the wrong foot. You're starting out with bad ideas, because if you have to use force, then your ideas aren't that good, and you got to force people to use them. And nobody wants to have an idea that they're forced to use. No one wants to live under something that they're forced to do. And I think that's the one thing that we all can agree on. And now everyone's worried about the inequality situation. I am greatly worried about inequality, especially now with the mechanization of the workforce and the, you know, robotic, computerized, drone workforce, all this stuff. But we have to keep in mind that the government is what helps perpetuate that over-centralization of capital and property and all that stuff. So without them around, it would be left up to a real free marketplace, which would basically ensure that the resources were decentralized. There would still be rich people, there would still be poor people. But as we move on and as we stop getting all of our resources extracted from this parasite, by this parasite, which is the government, people will have a lot more money to help the poor. And, I mean, these movements with the March Against Monsanto, food freedom, the food is free movement. I mean, we're talking about organic gardens going up all over the place with absolutely free food. And anybody that's hungry can go there and get organic tomatoes, lettuce, and kale, and all kinds of whatever it is that you want to eat, you know, potatoes, onions, whatever. These things are popping up all over the place. If you guys haven't had a chance yet, check out the Food is Free project. March Against Monsanto also is a huge supporter of it, and getting the food back. And once we do that and everyone has food, I mean, think about the freedom that everybody is going to have. Nobody's relying on anybody else for food, because the food's growing everywhere and it's free. Everyone is going to be so free to do so many different things, whatever they want, as long as they're not hurting or killing anybody, that the new enlightenment, the new revolution would be inevitable. It would just happen. It would have to happen, because we'd get tired of this parasite. We'd be done with it. And let's not twist words. Government bureaucracy is the greatest parasite that feeds off of humanity. They suck us dry. Every country is sucked dry by its government, or sold off, or sold out by its government, or killed, outright killed. I mean, look, Mao in China did it. Hitler did it. I mean, we did it to the natives. These guys are at the root of our problems, and I think as we evolve as a species and we come to realize, okay, well, maybe we need to get rid of these parasites, maybe we need to vaccinate ourselves from the government, which is a good way of putting it, so that we don't have them anymore, and we keep ourselves immune from them, and then we govern ourselves, and we control our own lives, and we work in our families, and we work with our neighbors, and we work within our communities. And you know, a lot of people say, well, maybe we need a national defense. Yeah, well, maybe we do need a national defense, but it does still, at the same time, it doesn't have to be run by the damn government. It could be run in a kind of militia, tribal manner, where there's a council of people that are elected by each militia, and that are directly controlled by the people, decide on what we want to do. Because right now we don't really have a national defense. If we were to be invaded, we wouldn't be that. Yeah, we have natural invade proof built into us because we have so many people that are armed. But other than that, our guys are spread all over the place, all over the world. We don't actually have a national defense. Our guys aren't really here, you know, holding off anyone from invading or anything like that. They're all over the place, all over the world. They're in Korea, they're in Japan, they're in Germany. They're in all these countries that we went and fought in, you know, 50, 60 or more years ago or whatever. And they're over there stimulating their economy on the other side of the world, you know, not helping our economy at all. So, yeah, we need a national defense. But I think that as the world evolves together, and I think if we're able to get it going first, because considering we have the biggest military in the world, it would be helpful for us to first get our government under control, so that way the rest of the world, I mean, if we look at all these revolutions going on in all these countries, they all know that they're trying to get a better world, or a better life. But the U.S. and other foreign powers end up meddling in these situations and muddling up the objective and the real reason why people were actually out in the street. I mean, look in Egypt. They have something like 30 million people in the streets. I mean, that's unheard of numbers. And they wanted something better. But what'd they get? A military coup. That's all they got. And the military of Egypt is a puppet of the U.S. government. We've basically created them, and they own basically 40% of the Egyptian economy. So you can't really do away with them. If you did, you'd crash the entire economy, and it would be complete chaos. So, I mean, the sentiment is there. It's just up to these nations like the U.S., the people of Russia, people of China, to rein in on their own governments. And eventually we can create a world where we wouldn't even need a national defense because the world would be peaceful. And at the very least, we had local militias just in case anything popped off. And they could, if they needed to, they could work together. I mean, we wouldn't need a government. We wouldn't. And the militia would just be... would just have to answer to the community. The community would hold it accountable. And that's it. I mean, we're talking about ideal situations, but it's something that could happen if we're able to get our act together well enough and at least get around this idea that we need to get rid of the parasite. That's holding us all back. Now, we got the enforcement arm of the machine, the police, you know, the guys on the streets, the border patrol, the sheriff's deputies, all these guys. I mean, all these killings that they're committing, it's just becoming like a blur to me. I mean, we published one or two stories today about two more guys that were shot by the cops and killed, or beat or tased to death or whatever. And I'm trying to figure out, I mean, is there more people being brutalized now by the police? Or is it just that there's more people with cell phones? And somebody asked me today about the whole putting cameras on all the cops. And, you know, I really don't know. I don't think it's a great idea, even though there's supposedly a study shown that the crime rates have gone down, even though that wasn't really a study. It was a very small sampling. So there is no real good scientific research to show it. But I don't think I want more cameras in the hands of the cops where they can easily say, oops, my camera didn't work. I mean, there was just a story today that I saw where the cop's dash cam accidentally somehow malfunctioned right as soon as he started beating a guy's head in. And then you got the guys down in Compton, the whole Compton police precinct had disabled their video and audio equipment so that they could get away with doing all kinds of corrupt crap. Who knows what they were doing, beating people or accepting bribes or dealing drugs or dealing with prostitutes. I mean, who knows? Probably, maybe all of the above. I mean, we're talking about Compton. So I really don't know about the whole putting the whole video camera thing on people's on the cops' heads. I really think that it would be better if just us as people just started to become more aware and spread this info so that people could do more of their own videotaping and stuff like that. And then figure out ways to back it up on the internet right away where the cops can't just take your phone and smash your phone or delete the video or whatever, so that you instantly stream online. And that's something that a few people are working on. So, yeah, I'm not really in favor of the head cams. If anyone wants to call in and talk about these head cams, I mean, feel free. If you think that we should use them, because I've heard some pretty fair arguments on either side of the equation. If anyone wants to call in, it's 718-717-8296. Now, I mean, the police are definitely the enforcement arm. I was down protesting the Federal Reserve down here in San Diego. We don't have a Fed branch, unfortunately, so we're out in front of the banks. And, I mean, it was just six or seven of us, maybe eight. And they had more cops out there than there were protesters, and let's just get this out there right now. The cops were not standing there with beside the protesters, us, and saying, "I'm here to protect your First Amendment." No. The cops stood on the bank's property and said, "We're going to protect the bank from you guys." And basically, you guys are the enemy here, and the bank is our ally. You know, and it was pretty telling. And to me, it was kind of one of these epiphany moments where it's just like, wow, it's like, really, these guys actually are the defenders of property and not the defenders of our rights, which is supposed to be the highest law of the land. I mean, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, that's supposed to be the highest law of the land, right? Well, the fact is they tried to stifle our First Amendment. They tried to stop us from continuing our protest. They tried to shoo us away out in front of the bank. But fortunately, we stood our ground and we continued. But it just goes to show. I mean, these guys aren't here to really protect you. All else fails, they're going to try to protect corporate property. But even likelier chances in a Hurricane Katrina situation, these cops aren't only out for themselves, man. They're not going to do anything but dip out and then eventually report to their superiors once they get the hell out of there. And then that's when they're going to get together and say, okay, well, now we got to really control this angry mob of people that are wondering why the government abandoned them to the damn floods in Katrina. And I mean, there's plenty of stories that came out of Katrina where the cops went rogue too. I mean, it's not even speculation. I mean, there's video showing these cops going rogue. They took down an old lady just because she wanted to stay in her house and stand her ground, and she had plenty of food and plenty of water, and she said, "No, I'm going to stick it out." And the cops come in, and she's like, "Well, I have a pistol to protect myself." And the cops just went in and started tackling the lady and took the gun away. And then, I mean, the video cuts off, but I'm pretty sure she got detained and arrested. We're talking about a 75, 80-year-old old lady with her family trying to defend her house because they were in higher ground and they had plenty of supplies to survive for a couple weeks. And they said, "No, we're gonna stick it out." And the cops said, "No, you're not. We're gonna come in and beat you down, old lady, and take your gun, throw you in cuffs." And I mean, we really need to rethink this whole idea of police and how we hold them accountable. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, what is the solution? It's hard to say. But I mean, there's got to be some kind of alternative. But I mean, that's up to us to create. And as we evolve as a society, we have to come up with that kind of thing. Especially if we ever come around to this idea of getting rid of the government altogether and having a more evolved way of doing things where we rule ourselves and things like that. We're definitely going to have to figure that out. And, I mean, it's kind of like this whole idea of volunteer firefighters. It's like that whole thing. I mean, we can do it. It's already being done in places. So to say that, oh, well, no, if we didn't have it run through the government, then it would be total chaos and people would be getting killed left and right. Well, actually, probably not, because I think that if it was like that, it'd be less people getting killed. Because the cops killed 5,000 people since 9/11. That's a lot of people. All right, we got a call coming in. Hey, how's it going? You're on the Anti-Media Radio.
Hey, Nick. How's everybody else doing? How are everybody else doing tonight?
Hey, pretty good, man. How's it going, Alberto? Alberto, one of my activist friends here in San Diego, man. Thanks for calling in. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I guess I'm going to try to make some sort of a connecting point between the elections and the cops. Pretty much, even though, yes, I went to vote, and it was one of the elections I was least looking forward to, but it's about, I guess, outreaching the issues that are at hand. Sometimes the smallest decisions can make, in the long term, the biggest impact, like choosing your leaders and whatever. For example, like Congress is pretty much one of the, I'm surprised, one of the least popular Congresses in history, according to a point that apparently herpes is more popular than Congress. At least I'm not have to deal with Congress. But, anyways. it's pretty much decisions. Whoever you put up to represent, those people make your decisions and whatever. Like in the case of the cops, especially in Oceanside, which pretty much have a very long history of trying to screw with the people, especially the Latino population, whether it's house evictions or pretty much I cannot believe I forget this. What's that thing that they do that pretty much that they, roadblocks are checking that the under the excuse that checking for DUIs, but checking that they're undocumented, they're pretty much, I guess you...
Yeah, the checkpoints, the DUI checkpoints.
Oh, yeah, pretty much in Oceanside, pretty much, unfortunately, the police are not being held accountable because they're shielded by their pretty much local officials, but pretty much give their marching orders to pretty much, do their thing. And that's, I guess that's basically the main three things. Outreach of your viewpoint. We cannot just settle for preaching to the choir. We got to expand to our friends, relatives, whatever. Hey, check this out for so-and-so reason, or whatever. And let me see, what are the other two?
Yeah, exactly, man. I mean, it's like, it's all about branching out and infecting new people with these ideas of freedom, man, of freedom and justice and all these things. Because the way that it's being done now, it's like the way politics are run. It's like this old corporate kind of system where it's orders from the top come down. You know what I mean? Trickle down economic, trickle down politics is the same thing.
I'm glad you reminded me of that. That pretty much. Well, unfortunately, also that money talks, in the case of Lori Saab, which pretty much, managed to squeak by to pretty much win her congressional seat without having to run off with Sarah Booth, who pretty much barely won by 3 points. Pretty much, it's a little bit intriguing for a council seat that pretty much that earns $75,000 a year. She gets $500,000 in indirect support. I guess it's a little bit of a domino effect.
Yeah, man, it comes down to this: the guy with the most money, the woman with the most money, whatever, is gonna basically win most of the elections. And of course, there's going to be a few underdogs that win, but it's only a very small percentage. The majority of the people that win in politics have the most money, and they spend the most money on advertising. And so, it's basically a system based not on representation of the people. It's based on representation of the wealth. And unfortunately, the wealth is centralized among only a very small handful of people, so the politics only reflect a small handful of people's viewpoint, and unfortunately, it doesn't improve our lives at all. Hey, Alberto, thanks for calling in. What's your Twitter handle real quick?
You can look me up at 314 Love Machine, but also look up Nick's Twitter at the Anti-Media One. Pretty much, I wish I would have called in a little bit earlier.
Thanks, man. Catch you guys. Here we go through the stereo.